Conservative, constitutional. It's the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, keeping you informed on what's going on right here in Kentucky.
And welcome, everybody, to another wonderful day right here on the Andrew Cooper Writer Show. And on today's show, we'll be going over Libs of TikTok posted a video out of Kentucky. And it's interesting to see some of the national response to the video, but I'll go over what the mom who is in the video, she's talking about a situation that occurred with a dentistry program going on at a Kentucky elementary school. We'll take a listen to what she had to say, break it down, and give you that lovely commentary. And also, we'll have today the establishment Republicans are firing up as we see many a donors chipping in, the Kentucky Hospital Association, Churchill Downs, of course, the Jefferson County Teachers Unions, all putting money into this one PAC aimed at taking out conservative Republicans. You would think, though, that that PAC would be headed up by a so-called Democrat, but you'd be mistaken. Instead, it's headed up by a so-called Republican. And we'll go into just exactly who he is, his background, but also that money that they're putting into. So we'll have all that and more today on the Andrew Cooper Writer Show. As always, if you want to reach out to the show, head on over to theandrewshow.com. Once again, that's theandrewshow.com. You can hit the contact tab there. And also, if you go over to theandrewshow.com, you can hit the listen now page and see all the different places where you can catch the Andrew Cooper Writer Show in case you want to check out old shows. So Monday was tax day, the day to either file your taxes or ask for an extension. And on that day, as it's a day many people hate, especially if you owe money, especially if you're a business owner, as you shell out thousands of dollars, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes to the federal government, and you look around and you wonder, what am I paying for? What am I getting for this? And so on that day, I made a post politely reminding people that taxation is theft, specifically forced taxation is theft. Now, before I go on and talk about what people said in response, I guess I should explain why taxation is theft for those of you who don't believe it, specifically as well income tax. So theft in the Webster Dictionary is defined as to take the property of another wrongfully and especially as a habitual or regular practice. Some would zero in on the wrongfully part and claim that taxation isn't wrong, that the money isn't being wrongfully taken from you in the first place. In fact, when I made this post on my social media, many people chimed in saying about how much they love paying taxes and how taxation is the price you pay to live in a civilized society, or even that paying taxes is your patriotic duty. And it's not just the people making comments on my social media. Some people you may think are nothing but a bunch of Russian bots trying to get you to give up your wealth. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm sure they're real people most of the time. Sometimes I think they're parodies of themselves. There's no way leftists can think that crazy, but a lot of times I think they do, and that's sad. But even Mark Cuban made a similar post claiming that after serving in the military, paying your taxes is the most patriotic thing you can do. So I want to take an aim at their claims that taxation is just the price you pay to live in a civilized society, and it is not theft. Because, of course, that statement is incorrect. So follow me here. Okay, so let's say I want to eat a meal. I either have to pay money or labor to eat. So if I want to eat, I need to work for it or pay somebody to go work for it. And that is the price you pay, the labor in gathering or cultivating the food, or the money I have earned through one way or another. That is the price I pay to eat. But nobody is forcing me to eat. Nature is, the human condition is, and if I don't want to eat, nobody, I mean, maybe nowadays some people do, but nobody's going to come along and force me to eat. Now, my body may shut down, I may die, right? Because that's human nature, but a person is not forcing me to do something. So the principle that to live, you need to work, in order to provide for your necessities, you can say that's just the price you pay to live because that is human nature. That's part of living. But when another human is the one forcing it on you, you can't just say that's just the price you have to pay. Because if you're saying that, the price you have to, I do believe there is a price you have to pay to live in a civilized society. But the difference between a price you have to pay to get something and something you're forced on is the ability to choose. Because you should be able to choose to not pay it. But then you don't get some of the things that people would normally associate with a civilized society, such as, I don't know, maybe security and services and those kinds of things. But that doesn't mean you can't have them. Okay, so the fact, though, that taxation is forced upon you is the reason why it's theft. But there is a way we could do a lot of these things and it be optional, that you don't have to force people with jail and seizing their property to pay to be in a civilized society. You can simply give them the choice. Do you want the civilized society services or not? And if you don't, you don't have to pay for them. But that would mean we have to give people an option to pay or not, an ability to opt out. But many people can't wrap their mind around this kind of idea because they don't get it. I agree. If you want to live society, you have to pay for it because you need services, goods from other people. Humans do need to pay for things you're getting from somebody else, but you just shouldn't be forced to do it. Now, if you bring this up to people, they'll argue things like, well, you must not like police and fire and roads and highways. And some people would pay. Some people even said, I'm not kidding you, well, if you don't get taxation, who's going to pay for public transportation or public schools? When I made this post on Twitter, one person quote tweeted me. And for those of you who don't have Twitter, that means they like shared it with a comment. And said that, who's going to pay for the missiles? You must think missiles just pay for themselves. That's really what they said. That I must think missiles just pay for themselves. That was the first thing that came to their mind when I said taxation was theft. Well, if we don't tax people, who will pay for those missiles? And while I could go through and come up with a lot of creative solutions for many of the things, and I maybe will here in a second, I think, in fact, some of the things people listed, such as public transportation, maybe we just don't pay for. Maybe that's on you. Take public transportation. Take Lextran. It's in Lexington. Lexington has their public transportation called Lextran. It's funded through a property tax. Now, whether you rent or actually like pay property taxes, everybody pays a property tax one way or another. It's either in your rent or you just pay it to the government. In fact, I have been paying property tax one way or another now for 14 years. But yet, I can't think of a single time I have rode a Lextran bus. I don't think I've ever once stepped a foot on it. Meanwhile, other people ride it every day, meaning I have exclusively paid for the transportation of other people for 14 years. Perhaps, and this is something that lefties just don't get, people shouldn't have to pay for other people to get around. I mean, if your neighbor came over and stole your car, but then they claim, well, I just didn't have a way to get transported around, couldn't get to work, does that make it okay for them to steal your car? Does it make it to where your neighbor gets to come over and take your car, and if you try to stop them, you get thrown in jail for it? Because they need transportation? Because that's what's going on. They are taking money from you by force and then using it to fund other people driving around. So maybe some things are for you to deal with. And some other things are maybe there's better ways to handle it. And I think this involves a little bit deeper discussion. So we'll dig into the whole taxation stuff. How can you fund these things without taxation? Because I think it's important. Because a lot of people turn to government to solve all their problems. Or if government didn't do as much as it did. Because once again, I'm not an anarchist. I'm a minarchist. I think government should be small. I think there is some small things that government has to do. So we'll go into that in a few short minutes. And you're back with the Andrew Cooperwriter Show, your source for Kentucky politics. So before the break, I was talking about, I'd made a post on social media talking about taxation being theft, and all the people come on and say, what about the roads? What about the fire and police and all these things? And I talked about some of those things, maybe like public transportation, shouldn't be the concern of the public. Maybe that's your own problem. Maybe you shouldn't be asking other people to pay for you to get around town. And certainly, you shouldn't be making people pay for it to the point that if they don't pay for you to get around town, such as on the bus, through property taxes, they get thrown in jail or get their property seized from them. But what about some of these other things like roads and bridges, police and fire? Oh, roads and bridges. Do people actually know how that's funded? Let me explain how this works, okay? Let me explain how roads and bridges come to exist. You go to the gas pump owned by a private company. You purchase gas from a private company. The government then collects a tax per gallon you purchase from that private company. Then the government takes that money and gives it to a private company to build the road. So the government doesn't collect the money to pay for the roads, and the government doesn't build the roads. The government is literally a middleman in the entire process of infrastructure, just so people realize. And so perhaps there could be a way to do our roads without the government. But even if, once again, you say that, let's leave that to the government. Maybe it's too convoluted for them to hire. Let's do that. Well, at least that's a usage tax through gasoline. The people who use it are paying for it. It's not where you're forced to pay it, whether you use it or not, like police and fire. It's not like fire, for an example, doesn't have to be funded through public taxation. Tennessee, in certain parts, actually does not. Their fire departments are exclusively funded through something called fire insurance. You can either purchase it from the fire departments and purchase fire insurance, in which case, if they respond to a call for a fire at your property, they don't send you a bill for it. But if you don't purchase the fire insurance and you still call them out to respond to a fire, well, they'll send you a bill for it. Or you can choose not to call them and then you can just let your place burn down, I guess. But in that case, though, that is, once again, that would be a price you're paying to live in a civilized society. I would agree. You can either buy the fire insurance and get a civilized society service of a fire department, or you can choose not to, but then you don't get the fire department. That makes sense to me. And also, now Tennessee doesn't do this, but also that would open up a market for competition for fire, which is, oh, by the way, how it used to be. At one point in our country, fire departments were not publicly run. They were all private companies, and they would race to see who could put out the fire first, because whichever company got to put out the fire was the one who got paid. And you could do something pretty similar with police, because almost everything our police does is responding to a call by a person. You can pay your police insurance. Insurance companies could pay the police. And then, in that case, there'd be a profit incentive for police to actually have good response times or to actually solve victim crimes and find returned stolen goods, because, of course, there would now be a profit that the insurance companies would be able to give them. But most importantly, all of this is optional costs. And you can choose to carry these things and live in a civilized society or not. And it's okay if you disagree with me on this. That's okay. Because some people would say, well, what about people who can't afford to pay? Poor. Well, if government didn't spend as much as it does on all these services, well, those who are less fortunate wouldn't be able to get by. Which makes you wonder how human society made it for so long without government taking 40, 50, 60% of everything we made. How much are these people who are less fortunate unable to pay for these things because of the fact that government is taxing everybody to death? They are taking way too much and there's no competition and there's no way to push back. You don't have a choice. Because let me ask you this, okay? So if you're paid $15 an hour, let's say, from your employer, you probably will take home, let's say, around $11 or so. But a lot of people don't realize the actual cost to your employer to pay you $15 is around $20 an hour. You have payroll taxes that they pay. You're not the only one who pays taxes on what you're paid. Your employer matches a lot of those taxes and has to pay other taxes too. You take home $11, but your employer is paying, their cost is $20 an hour. So everybody could almost double the amount of money they make right now, and everything would cost the same amount. How much of these people who can't afford to live would suddenly now be able to afford to live? And for those who are truly less fortunate, that's where we now have a wonderful thing called charity, where people can choose to give their money to the poor and make sure they tailor make their givings to match the needs of the individual. That's how we waste so much money on these welfare programs and everything else. Because we're not giving money based on people's needs. We're giving money to people based on a blanket statement, because that's the easiest thing for government to do. Because it's not their money. They don't care if it ends up in the wrong people's hands. What about our national security? What about our military? Well, that's reasonable to worry about. I do think our country isn't a country unless we have national security. But wouldn't it be wonderful if our military was funded through something that incentivizes them to do what they should be doing, which is protecting us and our borders? So wouldn't one of the best ways to fund our military be the way that we did this originally as a country, through tariffs? Because then they're financially incentivized to protect our borders because they don't want smugglers getting in and not paying the tariff, which is what funds them. And if the tariffs are too high, the free market responds. People don't purchase. So it keeps a control on the taxation. And yeah, you know what? Maybe the military wouldn't have enough for all the foreign aid. And we'd be able to spend millions on a missile, but something tells me perhaps we'd figure out a way we could build missiles for cheaper, because now we're not just spending unlimited amounts of money. We've stolen from other people. And then we might actually focus on our borders and protecting our nation. You know, public education, right? Keep in mind, Jefferson County Public Schools is spending $23,000 a student. That's over $3,600 per adult in the city. Even if every single adult in the city had $3,600 more on top of all the other monies government wouldn't be taking from them, don't you think people can maybe afford to educate their own children at that point? One parent could afford to stay home. If one parent was making double what they were now, but everybody had the same, everything cost the same, maybe families would be able to take care of themselves and not be going to the government with their hat out in hands. Now, with all that being said, some of you may wonder, Andrew, I listen to your show every day, and you talk all the time about what is government's role, what isn't government's role. And here you are, you just went on a 15-minute tirade about how government should largely be removed from a lot of things you talked about. Just yesterday, I talked about how it is in our current system government's role to enforce laws that are dutifully passed, and I believe that it should be illegal for children to view pornography, therefore it's government's role to enforce that law. So Andrew, that doesn't coincide at all with what you just claimed about government not having a monopoly and that people would have freer choice of different options. Okay, so what I described is an idealistic world that I wish I was able to build and live in and wave a magic wand. But that's not the world we live in. We live in this world. And maturity has taught me, when I was younger and dumb, I was probably a puristic libertarian in every sense. But as I've become more mature and understood more about the nature of politics, I've understood that I can't change the world I live in. I have to accept the rules before us and make the best of it we can, and continue to move towards the direction we want to move in and try to make the best of the situation we're in. But I want to point out that this way of thinking about government, that it's here to solve all of our problems, and that, well, if government doesn't take from us all this money, well, how will they provide? How will people be able to survive? People can take care of themselves. And when you start thinking that people can't, is how we have the story, like what we have coming out of Libs of TikTok. Now, for those of you unaware what Libs of TikTok is, it's a social media account that literally just goes out on, specifically TikTok is how it started, but now it's just kind of any videos, goes out and finds videos and pictures and situations of things occurring all around our nation and just gives them more exposure, lets people see what's going on. And one of the things Libs of TikTok posted was a video from a mother down. She says she's in southeastern Kentucky in the video, so I'd assume probably Hazard area based upon her accent. Sounds like it's Hazard area. She talks about a situation that happened at the public school there with a dentistry program that they have. And it was amazing to me the amount of people who are unaware that, and especially here in Kentucky, that we have these buses that come out to schools and do dentistry visits for students there on site at the school. People are unaware of this. This doesn't happen, I guess, everywhere. It's not just uniquely a Kentucky thing, but it does point to, you know, people who listen to the show a fair amount. Last week, I talked about a 120 AFT post, which is the Kentucky Teachers Union, one of the Kentucky Teachers Union. And in that post, they talked about how our public schools are community hubs for all kinds of things other than learning. And one of the things they mentioned was healthcare. And I pointed out that this is part of the problem, that schools need to focus on learning and teaching. They're not doctors. They're not psychiatrists. They're not dietitians. And they're not dentists. Teaching is their job. That's what they need to be doing. And when we talk about, once again, we're just talking about taxing. And we talk about these expenditures that go to these things. And they're not going to teaching kids. And then we wonder why kids can't read or write. And this video shows not just the spending problem, not just the effect that this has on people's, on students' ability to learn, that they're focused on the wrong things, but it also shows the other problems that happen when you open up the door for government to get involved in all these other aspects of your child's life. So we'll be going over this video after this short break. You're listening to The Andrew Cooper Show. We'll be back in a few short minutes. And you're back with the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, your source for Kentucky politics. So Libs of TikTok posted this video from a mother here in Kentucky, and I wanted to go over it. So let's dig in. The video overall is about 3 minutes-ish long. We're going to break it up into parts here. First, let's listen to the mother kind of start off and lay out the initial story here.
So where are all of my parents that have kids in grade school, like first through fifth grade? Because I have a question for you. Down here in southeastern Kentucky, they offer programs for children who don't have access to health care, especially for like dental work. And they sent a consent form home saying that they were selecting the grades and that your kid could get a free cleaning done for the service that they offer. They have a dentist come out on this big tour bus and they do the free cleanings. And I was like, okay, whatever. Well, they sent home a piece of paper in the mail saying that my kids, both of my kids who were in first grade, have abnormalities and that I would have to consent for them to do further treatment. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, my kids go to the dentist on a regular basis, like every 6 months to a year. Like, there's never no cavities, decaying, their baby teeth are coming out, so their teeth are loose, but that's it. So I call the school. They tell me, we have no control over that. You have to wait until the dentist call you. This lady calls me and she's going over the stuff that's wrong. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense how my kid's teeth, like from the last 6 months, are suddenly decaying and that they're going to need root canals.
The first mistake she made here was letting the school and government get involved in knowing about their child's health in the first place. And we find this out as it rears its ugly head a little bit later. But these people believe they are the experts. This is their mindsets here. Okay, they are the experts. They know best. And when government experts get involved, well, now they have other ways of forcing you to do things. But it's not really a shock that the people came in and they decided that they found these much greater and huger issues. Why? Well, it's not because I think that her first graders actually need root canals. It's not that I think she's an uncaring mother. Clearly, she's not. She's taking the time to even talk about this issue on TikTok. She didn't just sit there and take it. She cares enough about her kids to try to draw attention to this situation happening to her. So why do I think that these people, of course, were going to find a much greater issue? Because of why they exist in the first place. This program only exists because the government and schools and quote unquote nonprofits think this mother and other mothers and parents and fathers are too stupid and too ignorant to take their kids to the dentist. They believe you are so incapable of caring for your child that they have to come to the schools in a bus to give your kid dental care. Why else would they be going there? Because they believe that without these visits, these kids are never going to see a dentist. And so they go in with this mindset that the parents of these kids are complete trash. Because if they weren't complete trash, well, their job that, keep in mind, they made up. No one asked them to do this. It's not like a bunch of parents came together and said, hey, you know, it'd be great as if we had a dentist come out during math class and clean my kid's teeth. Of course, no parent thought of that. They cooked this up themselves because they think you're stupid. And so they've created this job that only exists because they know what's best and they're there to fill in for you, the cruddy parent. And that becomes very clear that that's the way they think as this story goes on. So let's get back. Let's pick back up with her and see what happens next.
Well, then she's like, well, we're going to send home consent forms. I just need you to sign it and put your insurance on it. And she was like, once the procedures are done, she's like, it's going to be done over a consecutive amount of days. But she was like, your kids are going to have to miss school for this. And we're going to have to put them under that laughing gas anesthesia. But you are not allowed to be there. We'll just call you whenever it's time to pick them up. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm going to contact their dentist because this does not seem right. They have an appointment literally in like 2 months. Like, I'm going to get this taken care of. Take my kids to the dentist. Nothing is wrong with my children. They both have baby teeth that they're losing, but there's no sign of cavities, no signs of decaying, nothing. The dentist showed me the scans.
So she's told by this dental group, comes out in their bus, comes on out, looks at her kid's teeth and says, oh, your kids need to be gassed. Both of them. Just so happens it's both of them. They both need to be gassed and major dental work done over several days, and they're in first grade. And oh, by the way, you as a parent can't be there. Now, any normal medical provider would never create a situation, especially a dentist, where parents can't be with their children. Maybe you can't be in the operating room while they're operating on your kid, but you can be there. You don't just drop them off to a doctor and then come back later. You can be there in the office, just on the other side of the door. But keep in mind, this isn't a normal doctor you take your kids to. This isn't a normal dentist. This is a dentist that exists because they think you suck as a parent. Now, you would think that the moment she establishes herself that she is not one of these sucky parents that they think they exist to take care of and fill in for, the moment she says, we have a normal dentist, here's his name, I believe he said he'll deal with that. They should have came back and said, okay, we got it, we have it handled. But no, they can't say that. No, they're the government, they're here to help. And maybe they aren't specifically the government, but this is done in conjunction with the government, and they're here to help. So what happens next? Well, let's take a listen and see.
So tell me why a couple days ago, I get a call back from that school dentist telling me, oh, well, we understand that we didn't get your consent form, but your child is scheduled for a surgery for this, this, and this day. And then your other child is going to be on this, this, and this day. So we can separate it up in weeks. And she was like, we're just going to go ahead and do it since you already signed the first cleaning consent form. And then we'll call you and let you know. And I said, no, you're not touching my kids.
I'll tell her why. Because they don't respect you as a parent. You say they didn't think you didn't sign the second form because you have an opinion on this invasive procedure that's taking place over several days to both your kids. They didn't think you didn't sign it because you actually went and talked and got a second opinion. They just think you're a lazy, good-for-nothing, uncaring mom who isn't even capable of signing a form, let alone take your kid to a dentist. Never mind the fact they don't really care about your kid the way you do. They see all these people, they always think, and you hear this from teachers, you hear this from all these people that work with kids, we just love these children. You know, you'll hear teachers say, these are our kids. You'll hear people from the government say, oh, wait, we're just here. We really care and want to take care of these kids. They think they care more than the parent, but they don't. They probably don't even remember these kids' names after they leave, let alone care what they end up doing. They don't care, you know, that you're there for their graduations, their accomplishments, their failures. You're with them every step of the way. And despite all of that, they still have that incredibly condescending, tyrannical expertise mindset that makes them believe that they care more, know more, love your kids more, care about their dental outcomes in this case more than you ever will. Despite the facts that point to the exact opposite. So how do they respond to being told by this mother to keep their dirty hands? Well, I'm sure they're probably not dirty. They have gloves on. But how do they respond to keep their tyrannical, condescending, no good hands out of her kid's mouth? How do they respond to that? Well, we'll have that coming up after this short break. As always, if you want to reach out to the show, feel free to email info@theandrewshow.com. Once again, that's info@theandrewshow.com. You can also head on over to theandrewshow.com and hit that contact button and fill out the contact form there if you want to reach out. We'll be back in a few short minutes with the conclusion to this story. We'll see you soon. And you're back with the Andrew Cooperwriter Show here in this final segment. And so before the break, we've been going through this Libs of TikTok video from a Kentucky mother talking about an instance where a mobile dentistry program had came out to the school and had taken a look at her two kids, her two first graders, and decided they needed advanced, intrusive, you know, gasm surgeries over multiple days. She took them to her regular dentist. Regular dentist said they're fine, nothing to worry about here, normal kids. And so she was telling them no. She told them, hey, don't touch my kids. So we're going to find out how they respond. Let's take a listen to this conclusion.
And she's like, well, what are you talking about? She's like, don't you care about the priority of your kids? Because it looks like your kids never brush their teeth. And I was like, ma'am, I just took my kids to their dentist and they had a clean bill of health. I asked to see the records. I asked to see where they, you know, the exams of the teeth decaying and cavities. They refused to show me anything. But she was so concerned with it. She was like, all we need is your insurance information. But she was like, we are going to have to put your kids asleep and they are going to miss this amount of school. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm not opting into anything. You're not touching my kids. So tell me why I get a letter sent home to me from the school board telling me that the days that the dentist had my kids scheduled, if they missed that amount of days, my kids would be in truancy and I would have to go to court. Like, somebody make it make sense. Like, I'm not understanding. I feel like that dentist was just trying to rack up on my insurance and trying to put my kids through unnecessary, like, dental work, and especially putting them to sleep knowing that I'm not allowed to be there. Like, I've never even been allowed to talk to the dentist. So can somebody make this make sense? Like, am I hallucinating or?
No, you're not hallucinating, and I'll try to make this make sense to you. You know, you and your children are nothing more than wards in their minds. You are to consent to whatever they want you to do because they know best after all. They are the experts. And the very concept that someone may have another thought than them is so unintelligent and incomprehensible to them that the minute they receive pushback, they respond with contempt and legal threats. Because that is what they have at their disposal. And going back to my first segment about what this happened, this is what happens when government has a monopoly. Not just a monopoly on services, not just a monopoly on the use of force, but also has a monopoly on your life and the belief that you belong to them and you're to do as they say, period, and you have no other choices. And I tell you what, I wish this mom luck, and I'm sure that the attention that this is getting, it's gotten well over a million views on TikTok. I'm sure the attention, or on Twitter. I'm sure the attention being paid here will cause everyone to back off this mother because they don't want people to start to ask too many questions. They need you dumb and docile, you see? And if you start to ask too many questions, well, that will create problems for them, which is why we should be asking questions. Questions like, how many other students has this happened to? How many students are getting unnecessary dental work? How often are they using original consent forms to be able to do other things to the children? If you remember during COVID, there were stories of children getting COVID-19 vaccines without the parents consenting to them at schools. And why is it that our schools are unable to stay in their lanes? Maybe you should be there to teach. Get the medical doctors out of the schools. They should be back in the hospitals, back in the doctor's offices. And if you want to take your kids there, you take your kids there. Get the mental health people out of the schools. If you want to take your kid to see a psychiatrist, take your kid to see a psychiatrist. They're not staying in their lane. And maybe it's time that we, the people, get a control on things. And we do that through a lot of ways. And one of the ways is we don't let ourselves be bought off. We don't get distracted by shiny objects, despite that's what people are trying to do. And now we're going to shift to primary news. How about that for a segue? So over in the world of primaries, we've got some big dollar donors continuing to throw some big bucks into trying and to knock off, to get rid of current elected conservatives and in the primaries, and then also to defend their proxies, their more liberal Republicans, as the teachers unions, Churchill Downs, and the Kentucky Hospital Associations are all giving money to a so-called Republican PAC. And how much money are they giving them exactly? It's a lot. So the Better Schools Kentucky, which is the the Jefferson County Public Schools Teachers Unions PAC, gave them $200,000. This was to the Conservative Commonwealth Coalition. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Conservative Commonwealth Coalition. So Teachers Union gave them $200,000. Churchill Downs in Louisville gave them $200,000. The KY Hospital Association gave them $50,000. And why are they giving them all this money? Because they want to get rid of those who won't allow their votes to be bought. They're giving, the teachers unions is giving this PAC $200,000 because they want them to protect people like Timoney and Michael Meredith, who are Republicans, that are voting to protect the liberal interests of the public school mafia that we have going on right now. I'm not talking about necessarily teachers or other people, and I'm sure there are great local public schools. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the administrative mafia that's attempting to trap your kids into indoctrination, liberal indoctrination camps. And those who are trying to fight that, they want to make sure they lose, and they want to make sure that the people who will do their bidding are protected. If you can be taken out, see, this is the game of politics, right? If your people who are voting the way you want them to, you're able to protect, and then people who are voting the way you don't want them to, you're able to take out, then the incentive structure for all the other politicians is to vote the way you want them to. And the way politicians behave is all about incentive structures. Whoever they believe is going to keep them in office, whoever they believe can take them out, is who they're going to listen to. And this is going to be an influx moment. 2024 primaries will be an influx moment for Kentucky politics, because we have some real conservative, strong, anti-establishment, pro-liberty Republicans up there. People like Doan and Maddox and Rayburn and Massaroni and Rawlings, who's running for the Senate now, but he was over in the House there. And Proctor and Lindsay Tishner and Southworth. And I mean, the list goes on and on. And if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. Callaway. You know, and if I'm missing people, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to miss your name. If you're a representative, you listen to this and you think you fall into that category. Anyways, we have some really great conservatives there, newly elected. And this is the first time them as incumbents will have a chance to be knocked off. And if these groups are able to knock them off, well, then they think they can start to make sure things sway their way. But at the same time, you have some key, really awful people like Representative Killian Timoney, like Representative Steve Meredith, who are being challenged by conservative liberty people. And if they're able, and if conservative liberty groups and PACs are able to come together and take those people out, the incentive for the rest of them. It will push everybody else more conservative, more liberty-oriented, and away from these establishment corrupt forces that sell out our state to these people like the medical big pharma and the medical monopolies, the hospitals, monopolies that go on with our medical system through our certificate of need laws. You know, the monopoly on gambling and gaming and everything else that is enforced through our horse parks and our gambling associations. They want that locked down. That's the reason why gray machines went out and sports betting came in. In regards to how you feel about those issues, one thing we should all be against is any kind of government-enforced monopoly. But both of those industries, the hospitals and the gaming and the horse industry, are benefiting from a government-enforced monopoly. The gambling side of things. A government-enforced monopoly and who gets to do it. And they're paying big bucks. And the teachers are also benefiting from government-enforced monopolies on schooling. And they want to make sure they maintain that too. And who's in charge of this PAC? Well, it's Don Perkison, who used to be the chair of the Jefferson County Republican Party, the Louisville Republicans. And he's heading this up, pulling in money from people he used to fight against in order to knock these people out. And you know what's so funny about these people? They start these PACs, people like Trey Watson, people like Don Perkison, and they say, oh man, we're the real Republicans. These people are causing division and problems. But yet when we look at them, people like Don, what do we see? They're the ones who gave to Democrats. That's right. Don Perkison has gave well over $1,000 to Steve Beshear while he's running for governor. And every single time we see these people that are fighting back against the conservatives, calling them the ones destroying the Republican Party, every single time we look at their donor history, and what do we see? They're the ones who've given money to the Democrats. And they have their audacity to say, we're not the real Republicans. I've never given to a Democrat in my life. Never once. But yet it seems like all these so-called, we're the real Republicans, you're the radicals, always seem to be the ones who've given to a D. Isn't that interesting? Well, y'all, that's what we have time for today on the Andrew Cooper Show. We'll be back here tomorrow. I hope you have a great rest of your day.